Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 28. In the book of Proverbs, we find that the Scriptures point out to us that we have an opportunity for restoration. And I like it when God gives us an opportunity of restoration, because it means that we can get back what we have lost. Proverbs 28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Our burden, our concern, is revival in the local church. And I really believe tonight the reason that we've lost the power of God off our local churches is that we've removed a lot of those landmarks. The landmarks of old-time preaching, old-time praying, and old-time praising the Lord. I believe we need to get back to the basics at the house of God. The thought that's on my heart tonight is very simply this. Why can't Johnny pray? Why can't Johnny pray? Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, for the next few moments, would You sober us and separate us from the cares of life? May we be able tonight to worship You in spirit and in truth. God, would You do for us tonight what we cannot do for ourselves? God, I know that I'm not worthy to stand in front of these people, but I know the God that is worthy. And God, I pray tonight that I would be a spirit. I pray, God, tonight that You would rule and reign over this service. I pray, Father, tonight that if I'm about to say something I should not say, I pray You'd take it from me. And God, if I need to say something that I've forgotten, I pray You'd bring it to me. I pray that You'd just be in charge of everything that's done here tonight. I pray, Father, now for the next few moments, would You quieten our hearts and our spirits that we might be able to seek You in the spirit of revival, and we'll give You all the praise and all the glory, for it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our coming King, that we ask these things. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We're gathered here tonight under the old gospel tent as concerned citizens from various cities and communities here. We're concerned about our nation. We're concerned about our communities. We're concerned about our schools. We're concerned about our churches and our homes and what they're facing. There's never been an hour, there's never been a day like the day and hour that we're living in tonight. In the history of mankind, there's never been such turmoil in the world. It's not an area war that we're concerned about now. It's world war that we're concerned about. We're finding out that in the decade of the 90s that our world is literally in chaos. From South Africa to South Korea, we're finding that chaos is ruling the world. From the Middle East to the Balkans and Yugoslavia, we're seeing that there's turmoil. But not only is there turmoil around the world, there's turmoil in America. Not only is there turmoil in America, but there's turmoil in our cities, in our schools, and sad to say, there's turmoil even in the hearts of people. As we gather here tonight as concerned people, I really believe that we ought to be concerned about our own spiritual condition. I really believe that we ought to pray for God to lead us and guide us and direct us and to do something for us tonight that we cannot do for ourselves. America's educators became concerned a few years ago because we were graduating young people from our high schools and even our universities that were functionally illiterate. They were graduating from school. They were able to pass the grade. But yet they could not even read simple instructions to be employed or to hold down a job. And they were disturbed that people were coming out of the schools of America, the public school system, and that they could not even read or write. They started a campaign to make America aware of this problem. They entitled it, "Why Johnny Can't Read." And they said, "We need to make America aware that the Johnnies of our public school system, male and female, are not able to read simple instructions. They cannot read 12th grade level when they graduate from high school." And they were so concerned. And a drive was made to re-educate our young people. they found out that the experimental systems were not working. They had tried the programs of teaching children to read by picture. They had taught children to read by the open classroom concept. They had allowed children to sit in bathtubs and in carpeted corners and to watch video instruction. But when the bottom line was over, the kids could not read. And so the educators said, we've got to do something about this. We don't know what to do except to get back to the basics. We've got to get back to what got us here. So what they did is they went back to a program. They called it reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's what I thought we went to school for anyway. So they said, let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to what got us here. Old-time reading, old-time writing, and old-time studying, and that we could graduate our students with the ability to read. My problem tonight is I'm convinced that in America, we have a spiritual problem very similar to what happened in public education. I'm afraid that we're producing a generation that is not only functionally illiterate, but they're socially illiterate in many of their skills. We've lost the skill to say thank you. We've lost manners. We've lost kindness. And now we're suffering from the random, senseless acts of violence that are now gripping America. But there's another problem. I'm afraid that we are producing a generation of young people in America, my friend, that are now illiterate when it comes to spiritual matters. How many children know anything about the things of God? It's to our shame and disgrace that our young people know about more about race car drivers and football players and baseball players and basketball players and the cards that they're on than they do the characters out of the Word of God. Oh, my friend, I'm afraid that there's something wrong when Johnny can't pray. I think that we need to realize that America has wandered far away from God. I'm afraid that we've traded off our values that God has given us. It appears tonight that we're now having a program of planned purging that we would rid America of its Christian values and we would ignore the God that in whom we claim to trust. We've wandered far away from Him. Maybe tonight as Bible believers, as concerned citizens, we can see that if God breaks our hearts and as we become concerned enough to pray and to fast and to reach out, that we can see the drug abuse in our land, the senseless violence that's in our land, the AIDS epidemic, the advancing alcohol use in our youth, the miseducation sexually of our children, and an epidemic of teen suicides that's ripping across America. Maybe, just maybe, we ought to pause tonight under this old gospel tent and ask a question. Why can't Johnny pray? What's wrong with the young people of America? What's wrong with the churches of America? What's wrong with the young adults? Ultimately, what's wrong with the moms and dads? I've written down several things that I'd like to highlight, but let me just mention one or two of them to you very quickly. Number one, I believe Johnny can't pray because national leaders are now denying the laws of God. I don't believe that God will ever bless America as long as our leadership denies the God that got us here. I don't think we ought to expect God to bless America and the same God bless America when Washington, D.C. is thumbing its nose in the face of a holy God. When the nation's leadership ignores God and tells God to go away and makes a joke out of the values of the past and removes the landmarks of ethics and values and standards, then, my friend, we're going to see that God will have to judge America instead of bless America. The Bible teaches clearly in Proverbs 24 and verse number 2 that some remove the landmarks. The Bible teaches that there are some that violently take away the flocks and they remove those landmarks. They pull down the standards. They remove the ethics. They take the values and they pull them away. And when they do, we pay a horrible price in the young people of our country and the young adults and the young married couples because they look to leadership and the leadership is looking to the world. What kind of country can we have when the Surgeon General of the United States of America declares that we taught our children what to do in the front seat? We taught them driver's education. Now, she declared, that it is time to teach America's children what to do in the back seat. May God have mercy on America. May God have mercy when the Surgeon General of the nation declares that she would like to be known as the condom queen of the country. Oh, my friend, we've wandered far away from God. We've neglected God, and we've bypassed God. And I believe tonight the reason our children don't know God is our national leadership has turned their back on God. And there's going to be judgment if we don't have revival in the land of America. I believe that Johnny cannot pray because it is against the law of the land to train society's youth to be God-fearing, respectful of human life, and to have self-esteem on Bible principles. Has it dawned on you tonight that it's against the law to actually train our young people to be moral? Have you ever thought about it? It's against the law to train our young people to have morals and to have values and to have ethics. The government, the United States of America, the court system, has said that there shall be no prayer in school. The government, the court system, has declared that there'll be no Bible in school. The government, the court system, has declared that it's against the law to post the Ten Commandments in our public school. We've literally told God to go away and to leave us alone. We've told God we don't need you anymore. Oh, we needed you for a few minutes during the Persian Gulf conflict, but now that's over. And our smart bombs did the trick. Our laser weapons performed accurately. Now, God, you go back to the closet. If we ever need you, we'll let you know. I want you to know we've convinced ourselves that we can raise our children without the knowledge of God. But I want you to know tonight that we'll never have the nation that we need to have and produce the character and the men and women that we need to produce unless we get back to what God gave us as a people. We've got to go back to the morals and the values. Can you imagine the audacity of a court, a system, a judge that rules that it's against the law for a public school teacher to have a closed Bible on top of her desk? Said it would infringe upon the rights of those that are receiving an education in that room, and rule that the public school teacher would have to take her Bible off the top of her desk or else lose her job. Can you imagine that we'd ever come to that day in America? Only last week, USA Today carried a story about an 8th grade girl that wanted to sing a Christian song in the public school talent show. They were singing country music, rock music, and rap music. But this young 8th grader belonged to a local church and was active in the youth group. And when for her talent, she wanted to sing a gospel song. The school teacher said, "No, you might offend someone. We don't want you to do that." Not that the country song wouldn't, not that the rock wouldn't, not that the rap wouldn't, but the God song, a gospel song, might offend someone. Her parents protested to the principal and to the school board. They both sided to the teacher, and they eventually went to court. And last week, the court ruled that it was against the law for her to sing a gospel song in a public school. May God have mercy on America. May God have mercy on America. May God have mercy on America. Oh, for tonight, we have men out of our church that are in Russia tonight, and they're in the schools, they're in the universities, they're in the streets, they're in the squares, they're distributing Bibles, they're preaching, they're teaching. Hard to believe, but tonight, there's more religious freedom in the former Soviet Union than there is in the United States of America. That's why Johnny can't pray. He's against the law of the land. It's against the law for him to pray. Oh, we need to realize that the judgment of God is building up against this great nation. And surely there's a storm cloud upon the horizon. And I see no answer tonight unless God's people repent that we lead the way to restoration. Johnny can't pray because we've told God to go away and not to bother us. Oh, and from the looks of our nation, from the looks of our society, it looks like that God's already started to leave. It looks like God's already loading up to pull out. I really believe tonight, certainly, that Johnny cannot pray because parents have quit living for God at home. I really believe that we've got people that have Sunday talk and Monday talk. I believe we've got parents that have Sunday walk and Monday walk. And I tell you, you can't fool your children. You cannot fool the teenagers. You can't fool those young adults. They know when you're real. They know when mom and dad's real. They know when the preacher's real. They know when the church members are real. And I'm afraid tonight our young people aren't praying because they see the adults are not real anymore in America. Oh, we need a revival. I'm afraid tonight that our parents have quit praying with our children and they've quit praying for their children. I'm afraid tonight that parents have started placing a greater emphasis upon the material things of this world rather than upon the spiritual things. Oh, we've taught our children that money's more important than the presence of God. I'm afraid tonight that we are going to pay a horrible price for emphasizing the plastic jingle-jangle of this world instead of teaching our children about the eternal things of the world to come. I'm afraid tonight Johnny can't pray because, my friend, he hasn't seen his mother or his father praying. When's the last time the altars of our church were wet with tears? When was the last time you got to church early and found the men and women of that church already in the altar praying? When's the last time after church was over, moms and dads stayed to pray? When was the last time that the presence and the power of God permeated the air of that local church instead of the politics of the day or the comforts of today? I'm afraid Johnny can't pray because his mama can't pray and his daddy can't pray. Oh, that God would break our hearts and let us see that we need a touch of God one more time, that we need a breakthrough, that we need a touch of heaven. And if we don't have God's presence, we're out of business, my friend. Johnny can't pray because of the music and the television and the movies of the world today. It's becoming a tool to educate him against the very God that he needs to love. We've got sitcoms just like Roseanne Barr, who makes fun and makes a joke out of a lesbian relationship. And only a few weeks ago, she allowed a woman to kiss her in the lips, and as she sat in a lesbian bar. And the whole program was built about the awkwardness of that situation. But all it is an attempt to desensitize us against sin. That we would laugh and snicker about the uncomfortable things. That we would laugh and make fun that the openness or the dirty joke or the vulgar word or the insinuation. All it is to break down a barrier and a wall and a barrier and a wall. And one of these days you're going to wake up and you're going to find yourself sitting in the hog pen. And you're going to wonder, how did I get here? What happened to my children? Where's my grandchildren? Where's the God we used to love and serve? Oh God, tonight, would you not shake us one more time? Wake us one more time. Break us one more time. Catch us one more time. That we might get back to the God that got us here. The God that used to be upon the land. We need revival tonight. We need the breath of God and the power of God and the presence of God. And it will not come unless men are broken before God. God does not force feed. God's not mechanical. God doesn't manufacture. God breathes and there's life. God breathes and there's life. God quickens and makes it grow. Oh, tonight, we don't need another promotion. We don't need another program. We don't need some other personality. We need the presence of God to show up and to breathe on our land again. There's no solution unless mighty God would breathe upon us. I'm convinced tonight that the movies have now made jokes out of all the religious. made psychos and murderers and rapists out of the Bible quoters. And now we find even a few years ago, Steve Martin made a movie, Leap of Faith, even making fun of what you're doing tonight, sitting under an old gospel tent, that all those that would serve God and worship God would be nothing more than con artists coming to town. And then the music of today has produced a system and a feeling of no hope and no future. Ronnie James Dio, on his latest CD, Last in Line, you'll find a big figure there with the flames of hell pouring from between his legs. And each hand is given the satanic salute of the devil and the beast over God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. The salute of Satan is in both hands. The chains of hell are tied to his arms. Millions are marching in line down in between that beast's feet, dropping into the flames of hell. You flip the CD over. On the back of that album it says, for the first time we'll find out who's right or wrong. We're the last in line. Ronnie James Dio declares, a rock star, that this is the last generation. That no one else is going to make it. This is the end. He declares tonight that there's not going to be a rising of the sun. He declares there'll be no hope for tomorrow. That the generation that's here is going to see it end. Isn't it something when the world knows more about what time it is than God's people knows what time it is? Isn't it a frightening thought that God's people have gotten so caught up in playing politics that we don't understand how late it is in America? Prince, on his 1999 album, he had in bold letters on the back, I woke up one morning and the sun didn't shine, the clouds was all purple. People were running with no place to hide. And he said, oops, party over, out of time. Oops, party over, out of time. So he said, tonight I'm going to party like it's 1999. He said, I think something's about to happen. I believe it's going to happen before the year 2000. I believe time's going to end. So I want to satisfy my lust and my flesh. I want to do whatever I want to do before this thing ends. Party's about to be over. Hey, if the world knows the party's about over, don't you think the church ought to wake up and see the party's about over? If the world knows that time's about through, don't you think God's people ought to wake up and understand that the time is about over? God help us tonight. Are we out of time? Is it too late for revival? Can churches turn from social programs and get back to spiritual issues? I really believe, my friend, that there's a little space right here, according to the book of Ezra. But God's given us a little space that we might have a little reviving in our bondage. But it's only going to happen when God's people pay the price. Revival's never easy. It's never comfortable. It's always difficult. You're going to find as this week progresses, it'll be more and more difficult to come each night. You'll find out that if you go to the second week, it'll be harder the second week. You'll find out that it costs something spiritually, physically, and emotionally to make a sacrifice for God to do something. But oh, I believe the need of the hour is that we're willing to make those sacrifices and say, God, one more time, would You send revival? We desperately need it. I believe tonight Johnny can't pray because preachers have quit preaching. I'm afraid that Johnny's not praying because preachers have backed off the stuff. I'm afraid tonight that preachers have sold their calling for a paycheck and a parsonage and a bowl of pottage. I'm afraid tonight that men have rolled over for popularity rather than for the power of God. I'm afraid tonight we've got preachers preaching on things instead of preaching on Him, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I really believe we replace spirituality at the house of God with activity. And to think if we're busy, then surely we must be spiritual. I'm afraid tonight that the preachers are divided and distracted instead of determined and dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe tonight we'd rather organize than agonize and get in touch with God because it's much easier to do something in the flesh than it is to do it in the power of the Lord God Almighty. I'm afraid Johnny can't pray tonight because Pastor is a politician instead of being one that has power with the Lord God Almighty. Gentlemen, it'd be far better tonight that your name be known in heaven than to be known in Columbia, South Carolina. It'd be far better tonight than your name is known in heaven than to be known in Washington, D.C. It'd be far better tonight rather than you walk in the Oval Office and Bill look at you and say, "Hi, John, how you doing?" It'd rather be best off for you tonight, much better off for you tonight, if you could walk in the Holy of Holies and sweet God look down you and say, "Hey, I know who you are. I know what you are. I know you're my man, and I called you to preach, and you won't sell out for the popularity of this world." Are we tonight being crippled with a man-fearing spirit instead of being directed by God's Word and the divine leadership of the Holy Spirit? I believe Johnny can't pray tonight because we haven't taught him to pray. He's not seen the example in the life of God's men and God's people to know that prayer is what produces the supernatural. The battle of the 90s will be won in prayer, my friend. It'll not be won with money. It'll not be won with materials. It'll not be won with men and their personalities. But if we have victory in the 90s, it'll be won because someone prayed and someone got in touch with God and someone went in the Holy of Holies and knocked on the door and said, "I'm back one more time. And God, I'm not turning loose till you do it again." And oh, tonight, that ought to be the prayer that comes out from under this tent. "Oh, God, do it again. Do it again, God, or we die. Do it again tonight, Lord. Touch us one more time. God, don't make us go home on memories. Don't make us go home reading about what you used to do and how you used to do it. But God, would you please breathe on us one more time and send revival before it's too late." Nothing else will work, church. I believe Johnny can't pray because Johnny doesn't know it works. Before you can practice it, you've got to know it works. And I believe Johnny's not praying tonight because Johnny's never seen the power of prayer work in his local church. He's never seen the power of prayer work in the midst of the family of God. I believe the teens and the young adults, young married couples of America, need to see a demonstration of the power of God. Johnny needs to see people praying and believing God one more time. There's a verse of Scripture in the Old Testament that has to do with this principle. 2 Chronicles 7:14. A very familiar passage of Scripture, but a powerful verse as well. "If my people which are called by my name shall" what? "Humble themselves." See, that's hard to get past humbling. Humbling has to do with stepping upon pride and programs and personalities. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves" and what? "Pray." There it is. Hey, Johnny can't pray because we're not praying. "And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That is the Word of God. I didn't make that up. That's the inerrant, infallible, holy, inspired Word of God, preserved in this old authorized version for this day and hour, that men might know that our God's alive and His Word's alive and the prescription for healing is already here. "If my people shall humble themselves." Can we be humbled again? Can we pray again? Can we seek His face? Can we believe it? You know why Johnny can't pray? Because many of us don't believe that God can do it again. We are crippled tonight by an evil, wicked heart of unbelief. I've already had people come up to me before service tonight and say, "Brother Ralph, forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't think anybody would come. Forgive me. I was plagued with unbelief." But that's not unusual. That's the day that we're in. And the hope that we have tonight is that God's people would say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that we're not going to give another child to the devil. We're not giving away another teenager. We're not giving away another marriage. We're not giving away another church. We're not throwing away another preacher or missionary. We're going to say, God, do it one more time. Would you send revival? If my people shall what? Humble. And what? And then do what? Seek my face. I want you to do me a favor. I want us to stand all over this tent. No one leaving the tent unless you're sick. No movement. As quiet as we can be. Unless you have to go to work. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to do me a favor tonight. I really believe that God can send revival. I really believe that these next few nights can be unusual nights. Supernatural nights. But I really believe someone's going to have to get humble. I really believe that someone's going to have to pray. I really believe that someone is going to have to seek His face. I wonder tonight if there's some moms and dads. I wonder tonight if there's some preachers and youth workers, some Sunday school teachers. I wonder tonight if there's some grandmothers and grandfathers that are willing to get under the altar one more time and say, God, I don't know about anybody else under this tent tonight, but I know this much. I need revival. God, I need revival. I need my tears back. I need my burden back. I need a vision one more time. I want to humble myself tonight and acknowledge that I need a touch of God. I wonder tonight if we could have someone that would meet and pray and say, God, I want You to teach me to pray tonight that the generation coming behind me might know how to pray. Oh, that our children and our grandchildren might know that our God's alive and well. I know there's 100 preachers here tonight. Hey, men of God, if there's ever a night we ought to lead the way to the altar, it ought to be tonight that we'd preach in the power of God. We're going to sing one verse. If God's spoken to you, I want you to have the courage to get out of your seat and join these that are already praying. As Brother David sings, You Mine God.
Ask me not, O gentle Saint.
Just keep coming. Counselors, keep your aisles open. Move them to the altar and to the inside. Make sure your aisles stay open. Keep them coming. You mind God tonight. Come on.